In the last half of chapter 2 in the book of Ephesians. Now, we've made the point before that the book of Ephesians is about the church. The church, the place of the church in the plan of God. In God's overall plan, as He designed it in heaven before the beginning of creation, He planned the church. And the book of Ephesians is the book that just takes it down, kind of step by step, telling us what it is. Am I echoing back up there? I'm echoing to myself there on the sound. For the first chapter, it was the church, the fullness of Christ. In other words, he's showing all about the church, and that helps. So all about the church and how that he finally describes it and ends up, it is the fullness of Christ. Then in chapter 2, 1 through 10, it's the church, the alive in Christ. And so there he explains that God took dead people, people who were in sin, and he operated on them through Christ and made them his people. Made them his people, his workmanship, his product, and he made them alive in Christ. So, chapter 2, the church, the alive in Christ. Now today, the last part of chapter 2 is the church, the reconciled in Christ. Now, this is important when we talk about the reconciled in Christ, because this section tells us about the Gentiles being totally lost and without any hope, but now having hope in Christ. So let's think for just a moment as he talks about the church, the reconciled. He's going to go back and he's going to talk about the Gentiles specifically. He's going to end up talking about the Jew and the Gentile. But it is about the Gentile specifically, as we will see. Now, remember that back when God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he told Abraham, I will make a great nation out of you. And starting at that time, God started working with that nation that came out of Abraham's loins, which was the Hebrew or the Jewish nation. They were the people of God. They were the nation of God. And everybody else except that one nation was called Gentiles. Anybody know why it's called Gentiles? It's kind of unique, kind of cute. Even Harry can understand it. The word Gentiles merely means nations with an S on it. Now the Jewish nation was a nation. The Hebrew nation, that was a nation. Then all the other nations, except this one nation, that's what Gentiles means. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Doesn't make any difference whether you're Russian, Arab, American, whatever it is. God had one nation he worked with through Abraham. Everybody else was the Gentiles. Now, when we get down to Christ, Christ comes, and we have the Jewish nation, and we have all the other nations in all the world. And Jesus told them, he told them, go out and preach the gospel to the whole world, all the nations. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Christ now is getting ready to bring in all of the nations. Now, when he brings in all the Gentile nations and unites them with this one nation, the Hebrew nation called Jews, when he unites them, what kind of relationship will there be? Will the Jewish nation be superior, or will the other nations be superior? Just exactly how will that work? That's what this section is about. Now, as we start out, I want to read this. He said, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, That's the reason we know he's going to be talking about Gentiles. He said it. Who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Now the Jews were called the circumcised nation, the circumcision, because that was the sign of Judaism. Every Jewish boy 8 days old had to be circumcised. And so they're called the circumcision. Now the people in the Jewish nation looked at the Gentiles and said, they're the uncircumcision. They're the people that doesn't have any relationship with God. They're the Gentiles. And so then he goes ahead, and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, we're going to break that down in today's class. And you, that is the Gentiles, the uncircumcised in the flesh, he says, that's who I am talking about. So he describes them and he said, you were separate from Christ. Well, we understand that. What that's talking about is that back when God called Abraham, he called him out and he said, I'll make a great nation out of you. And so he took that Abrahamic offspring. They're called Hebrews because that nation that came from Abraham didn't have any land. And so he had Abraham just to walk around. Abraham's job all of his life was just to go where God told him to go. Go over here. Now go over there. Now go over there. Now go down to Egypt. Come back up to Hebron. Now go up here. That's all Abraham ever did. Abraham never had any nation, any place to set his foot. He just sojourned, walked around. That's what Hebrew means. The word Hebrew means, in there, walker arounder. That's what it means. Somebody just walks around. Gentiles means nations. Everybody except a walk-arounder. Now, the people that came out of Abraham's loins were in relationship with God. He gave them circumcision and said, that will be the sign. That's like a wedding ring today. And that will be our sign that I'm your God, you're my people. And the Gentiles were left out. You were separate from Christ. Then he says, at that time, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, we don't use the word commonwealth out here in the western states. They use it back in the eastern states, back on the east coast. Commonwealth just means government, really. The government of Israel, the country of Israel. Out here, we talk about the states, and Canada talks about the provinces, and commonwealth means the nation. So, you were alienated from the nation of Israel. You Gentiles didn't have anything to do with Israel. They were a special nation. And you were strangers from the covenants of the promise. Now, God only gave Abraham and his offspring the promise. He didn't make any promises to the Gentiles. He told Abraham, you do this and I'll do that. Abraham had children. It comes down. Finally, he called Moses. He told Moses, you do this and I'll do that. And he gave him the law. It was all Jewish, all Hebrew. Everything was directed to the Hebrew nation. But he gave them promise. He gave them a promise, and the big promise was that through thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That is, he was going to send a Savior of all mankind. But he gave them a lot of other smaller promises about, if you do this, then I'll do that. If you do this, then I'll do that. Now, he gave that to the Jewish nation. The Gentiles were strangers. They didn't have anything to do with the promise. So they were just a group of people that was out there, alienated, didn't have anything to do with it. And it says, and here's the big one, having no hope. Wow. Having no hope. So they didn't have any, the Gentiles, they didn't have any hope. Now, what is hope? Remember, we talked about it. Hope is made up of two things. It's made up of desire plus expectation. Now, the Gentiles could desire, but they didn't have any expectation of salvation because where would they get it? It's going to be through Christ. They were all sinners. The very best that they could do was if a Gentile, such as Cornelius, was a good man, and they said, I want to do what's right. And if a Gentile looked at it and says, I don't believe in all this nonsense, heathenism, paganism, killing people, I want to do what is right. And the God of Israel, he wrote a book, gave it to Moses, and that's good. That law of Moses, that's the way to live. So what would a Gentile do? It wasn't given to a Gentile. So the Jews, in their law, had been told how to treat a Gentile. If they come in to you, you treat them nice, you take them in, you make them a part of you, only they're not Jews, but you. And so here's a Gentile, and a Gentile says, I want to be right with God. I want to be right with God. What did they do before Christ came? They came to the Jews and said, I want to be a part of you. The Jews would tell them, well, okay, if you want to be a part of us, you have to be circumcised. Now, that'll not make you a Jew, but it'll make you half Jew. You'll still be a Gentile, but it'll make you a part of us. And they called them proselytes. So when you read about proselytes in the New Testament, that's what you're reading about. Gentiles who have become Jews there. Now, there's a lot of Jews that were called threshold Jews. I kind of think this is neat because they're still called that today. But let's suppose that over here is the Jew. That's a Jewish nation. Up here where I am is a Gentile nation. Here's a wall, here's a door. Now the door, I've got to step down. Now I want to become a Jew. So I come up here and I want to step down there, but there's something holding me back. It's like a guy going out that door and he steps over the threshold and comes back again. They're called threshold Jews. Now, generally of circumcision, I did that. Because for me to step over here and get down there, I would have to be circumcised and become a full-fledged proselyte. Well, what about us Gentiles? We were out of Christ and we had no hope. And here's the reason why. Without God in the world. God had rejected the Gentile world. Now, why had he done that? He created Adam and Eve and put in the Garden of Eden. What did they do? Sinned. God expelled them. And then he started working with Adam and Eve and their offspring and told them, now, you failed in the garden. Get busy and do what's right. Well, they got down to Noah, and Noah's time, it said, every thought and imagination of man's heart was evil continually. And so God says, okay, there's one man, Noah, who's a righteous man. So you know the story. Noah, build the ark, get in it. I'm eradicating all other mankind. We're going to start out just you. So Noah and his family walked out of the ark. Now we have righteousness. We don't have wicked people. So these people started populating, and finally they all get together, and they say, now we know that God told us to go populate the earth, go replenish it, but we want to stay together. I don't want to do that. So what will we do? We'll build a tower, and the tower will reach up into heaven. Now let's translate that today. We will build a high-rise apartment building. That's what it meant. We'll build a high-rise apartment building like the Columbia Center down here. Or the Space Needle goes way up into, now, heaven. And we think of heaven being 968 zillion miles away, you know. No, there's three heavens. We're breathing the air of heavens now, the heavens where the birds live. And so you go out, we say, look at that. Look at that Columbia Center. Boy, that's up in the sky, isn't it? Wow, that thing is up in the heavens. So they built a great, great, gigantic apartment building and said, we're all going to live in it. God then confused their language, so they couldn't. And it's at this time that God says, I'll not work with them anymore. I've tried working with all the peoples of the earth, in the garden, out of the garden, after the flood, up here. So now what I'm going to do, because God had a plan. His plan was to bring Christ in. He said, I'm going to work with one nation. Not with all the nations. I'm going to just take one nation. And I will develop this one nation from scratch. I will begin at the very beginning. I will call a godly man, a righteous man, out of the Ur of the Chaldees, a Chaldean. And I'll call him out and tell him to get away from all of these Chaldeans and come over here to a place that I'll show you. And I will make you a father of many nations. So Abraham, one man. Left, came over. You can't get any more basic than that, can you? So God started out with one man and said, I'm going to develop the Hebrew or Jewish nation. Well, what about all these other nations? That's the Gentiles. He left them. We had failed him time and time and time again. So God said, in order for me to bring in the Christ, I have to have one nation that will be at least, oh, how would I put it, that would have enough spirituality, that would have enough respect for me to be able to have Christ to come in through that nation. That's the reason he chose them. It was all Christ. So from that time, the Gentiles were without God. So we come down to where Christ was then. And then we began to see. But now in Christ Jesus, wow, here's where things change. Here's where Paul said it. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off. I want to stop right there, because if you go back to Acts chapter 2 and you read the people, that read about what Peter said to the people in Acts 2:38 and 2:39, and told him to repent and be baptized. He's speaking to Jews, just Jews. That's all that was there, just Jews. And he said, now this promise is unto you and your children, unto you Jews and all the Jews who will ever live, and to as many as are afar off. What do you mean by afar off? He meant all the people that were far off from God. Who's that? Gentiles. Can you be sure? Yeah, that's what he said. He's talking about him. And so he said, you were far off. He'll say it again. So he said, he took those who were far off, all the Gentiles, and brought them near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, Christ, is our peace, who has made both, Jew and Gentile, one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, we'll talk about that, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Now, there was something at that time that was separating Jews and Gentiles. They hated each other. Jews called the Gentiles dogs, and they hated each other. There was an enmity, a hatred between them. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He said that was the law. Boy, that doesn't sound right. Because the law of Moses was good, righteous, and holy, Paul said. It came from God. But it's called a wall of separation. And so to create in himself, Christ, one new man from the two, Jew and Gentile, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, that's church, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. So let's see what these things mean. For he himself is our peace. Christ now is our peace, who has made both, Jew and Gentile, one. Ain't going to be no more Jew and Gentile. Nope. Not in Christ. He's making them one in there. And he's broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Now, how did he make Jew and Gentile one? They hated each other. They wouldn't have anything to do with each other. The Jew wouldn't drink out of a cup that a Gentile had touched. A Jew wouldn't go into a house where a Gentile lived. They had nothing to do with one another. They hated each other. There was enmity between them. Well, we got to fix that enmity before we can get them together. So there was a wall. A great wall of enmity. Now, what was that wall that kept them in there? Well, that wall was the law of Moses. I know it because he said it. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now, that law was good law, righteous law, great law, perfect law. Nothing wrong with that law. But that law was called the enmity between the Jew and the Gentile. Now, how could that be? It wasn't because something wrong with the law. I've often used the illustration with, I have two daughters. And suppose that when my older daughter got married, I went out and I got her a $20,000 ring and bought her a brand new Cadillac for her wedding present. And gave it to her. Well, 2 years later, her younger sister gets married. And I come up and I say, now, Dina, here it is. I'm going to give you a $10 credit card to KFC. And I'm going to buy you a car out here. You know, it's 15 years old, but it's in pretty good shape. And I'm going to buy you this car. So I'm going to give you a gift and a car just like I did Kim. Do you think there'd be any problem? I expect there'd be a problem, wouldn't there? Do you think Dina would take that and say, oh, Dad, you're the most wonderful father I've ever seen. You are impartial, you're loving, you show kind. Do you think that? No, we'd have family problems. And so now Dina's going to hate Kim. And Kim will be, strutting around with her diamond and Cadillac. Oh, she'll be showing off. But poor old Dina, she'll hate her. Dina will be mad at me. They're going to be enmity. Now, if I want to get my family back together, I want to get these girls back together, what do I do? Well, one thing I can do is remove the enmity. I go over to Kim's house and say, Kim, give me your ring. She gives it to me. Give me the keys to the Cadillac. I take it out to the lake, throw the ring as far as I can out into the lake, drive the Cadillac off into it, get out and walk home. And say, there it is. Now, all of a sudden, Kim realizes she's no more special than Dina. And Dina realizes, wow, look what Dad did, Jew and Gentile. All of a sudden, the Jews are going to realize we're not the special people we thought we were. Oh, I thought God loved us more than he loved these terrible people out here, these Gentiles. Nope. No, he doesn't love you anymore. Well, he gave us the law, didn't he? Did he give the law to anybody else? Just tell me, did he give the law to anybody else or only to us Jews? Only to you Jews. Well, see, he loves us more than he loves the Gentiles. Well, look at what's going to happen. When God sent Christ, he took the law out of the way. He removed the law. Now the Jew doesn't have the law, and the Gentiles don't have the law. It's all removed by the coming of Jesus Christ. And in doing this, he created himself of the two, one new man, thus making peace. So we take a look and we see here's what happened. When Christ came and died, he removed the wall, which was the law, at his death. That's the first thing he did. Went out of existence. Do the Jews have bragging rights now that they have the law? Nope, the law's been done away. There is no law given to the Jews. Then Jesus purchased with his blood his church. We're told that in Acts 20:28. And with his blood, he purchased his church for both Jew and Gentile. And now he can say, come unto me all ye that are labored and heavy laden. He opens the door to both Jew and Gentile. So Jews now can come into the church. Gentiles can come into the church. And in the church we have one new man, so making peace. So if there's a Jew comes in today and sits down in front of the Gentile Oliver, who has the greatest impact with God? There's no difference. There's no difference. The same thing that it takes for Oliver to be reconciled and be pleasing to God, it takes for that Jew. Well, doesn't one of them have a little bit of partiality? No, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. So what happened was, then God, or Jesus, reconciled them both, Jew and Gentile, unto God. Now look at all the great things that's happened. Here before Christ came, this great enmity. Now they are one in Christ in the church, and they're reconciled to God. And whether you're Jew or Gentile, whatever it is, you're all the same. You're all one man in Christ Jesus. That's why I call this section the church, the reconciled in Christ. So let's take a look at a closing chart that we might put up. We take Christ. Over here we'll put what the Gentiles were before Christ. Then over there we'll say what the Gentiles are now after Christ. First of all, the Gentiles were separate from Christ and afar off. He said, now you're made near, to God in Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth or the citizenship of Israel. Now you're fellow citizens. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise. Now you have the promise. You're fellow citizens. You have them. No more strangers. Back here you had no hope. Now you have access to the Father. Actually, access to the Father. Now, back then you didn't have access to him, but now, as a Christian in Christ, you can go directly to the Father. You have access to the Father. You now have hope. Back here, you were without God. Now, he said, you're not only close to God, but you're a habitation of God. He said, what happened over here? He said, I want you to look at it in this way. I want you to look at it as a big building, a temple of God. I'm going to build a big building now where God can live. And under the old covenant, it was made out of bricks and mortar. But now, out of here Christ, he takes Jew and Gentile people, and he makes Christians. And when he makes Christians, each Christian is looked at as a rock or a brick that you put in this building. And so when you become a Christian, you become a part of this great building, a brick that's in this great building where God is going to dwell. That's how close we are. So now you have that close relationship with God. Back here there was enmity of the Jew and the Gentile, and now there's peace. Now there's peace in all of this. Now with this, I want to turn to Ephesians and quickly take a look at this passage while we got it on our minds so we can read it and we can see what really it is saying to us in here. Grab my glasses real quickly. We're not going to take time to make comments. I will throw in some words as we go along. But now in verse 11, wherefore remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that ye, Gentiles, were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh, that's nigh to God, in the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, is our peace, who made both, Jew and Gentile, one, and break down the middle wall of partition, the law, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create of himself, create in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, and so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off, the Gentiles, and peace to them that were nigh, the Jews. For through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have our access in one spirit unto the Father. So then ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together. Now this each several building, this building there is talking about the bricks that is in there. So each several stones in there fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. And so he ends up showing what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship you can have if you're in Christ. Whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, you have this relationship because of what Jesus Christ has done. Thank you.